I have a very important question for you. Do you have a superpower? Do you wish you had a superpower? Do you wish you had almighty strength to lift up cars and throw them in the air? Do you wish that you were super uber flexible so that you could change your body into things that would stretch out? You want to stretch all the way from the platform to the end of the sanctuary. Do you wish just for once in your life that you could just disappear and wander around Palm Harbor and nobody could see where you're walking? My name is Keith Harcum. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And we're in week two of our series, At the Movies. Last week, Abdel Rodriguez, a mentee of mine, spoke and referred to one of the movies, Monsters, Inc. And we talked about fear and how even monsters had fear. This week, we're using movies, popular movies that we know, that you've seen, and how we can look at these movies and how they're good for our Christian lives, how to help us to live a life following Christ. And they're also helpful for us to able to see how we can be the church. So this week, we are referring to going over the movie Incredibles. The Incredibles. Anyone seen The Incredibles? Just a couple of you. Right. So after this, go download it, sit with your kids, sit with your grandkids, and watch The Incredibles, because it's incredible. Because through the life of The Incredibles, we can see our lives and how they're lived on earth and how we go through these different stages. It's such a joy to look at it and see the kind of things that we struggle with here today. In the opening scene of The Incredibles, Bob Parr, Mr. Incredible, known for almighty feats of strength, is the guy that is able to stop moving trains all of a sudden. He can do all sorts of magnificent strength kind of things, and he's well-loved. Everybody loves him because he's so strong, and he, you know, old women stopping in the middle of the road and ask him to rescue her cat. You know, he's the kind of guy that everybody wants to be around, and he knows this, and Mr. Incredible loves having lots of strength. At this particular night, he's got an engagement going on, but he keeps trying to rescue people on his way, kind of thing, and beat the bad guys on his way to his engagement. And he listens to the radio in his car, the police radio, and he hears that there's a suspect theft on the top of this building. So he goes up to the top of this building, and whom should he meet on top of the building but Helen Troas, also known as Elastigirl. She's the one who can stretch out her body. And she actually intercedes and intercepts the thief first. And she punches him and knocks him out. And they have this debate about who knocked him out first. And they're talking about, Bob Parr says, well, I work by myself. I don't need any help. And she says, you need to learn to be more flexible. And she goes in and out and around him and stretches around him. And she goes off into the sunset, jumping and flexing around. That evening, of course, there's the clandestine wedding of Bob Parr and Helen Troas. And in that wedding, as the pastor is saying the usual things at wedding ceremonies, she says to him, you are late. And she said, and he says, "If you, I'm sorry, I was helping people, I was rescuing people." And she says to him, "If you want this marriage to work, you're going to have to be more than Mr. Incredible." She says this to Bob at the altar. He turns to her and says, "Come on, what can happen to us? We're superheroes." And the whole world shuts down. The government doesn't sue all these, has these lawsuits against people who are supers, and they can't be super anymore. We jump ahead. 10 years later, so he's sitting in a small cubicle, too big for his cartoon-sized body, working for an insurance company he hates, and working for a boss that he absolutely loathes. Helen's at home, raising these children who've also got superpowers, but they can't use them. Violet is the has the ability to disappear and to do force fields. Dash is fast and able to run super fast across oceans. And Jack-Jack can go from different dimensions and appear in all sorts of different places, multiply himself. But they're not allowed to use their superpowers unless they want to be relocated or even worse, placed in prison. Do you feel you like you have a superpower that you're not using? Maybe way back when you felt like you were super, when you were younger and the church was in a different place, so you used a superpower and you're waiting for those days to come back and you know you're going to use it again at some point. You're not really sure when you put it on the back burner and it's something that, oh, you once used, but you're not using anymore. I'm not talking about being super strong. I'm not talking about being super flexible. I'm not talking about disappearing for a second and then coming back. I'm talking about the gifts that God has given you for the building up of the church. What does it take to build a church? What does it take so that the church is effective and vibrant and vital in the community that she is placed in? What does it look like? What makes it work? The Apostle Paul, passionate for his churches around the Mediterranean, preached the gospel and also sent letters to them whilst he was on earth. And he sent these messages around. We still got them. And Paul knew what it took for a church to be successful. Paul knew that we wanted vibrant, active worship, which we had this morning. Amen? Praise the Lord. And they would have sang psalms to each other, and they would have sang psalms that the Jews were brought up on. He knows that for a church to be active and vibrant, that the people had met with Jesus Christ. And they knew that in order for the church to thrive, that those people who have met with Jesus Christ were passionate about seeing others outside the community also meeting with Jesus Christ. So these are the kind of the criteria. And then when he was speaking to his churches, he sent letters around. Now, one of the letters we have, which we're going to focus on today, is Ephesians. It's Paul's letter to the believers at Ephesus. And he encourages them with some words. And we're going to go to chapter 4 of Ephesians. Chapter 4 is where we are. And if you've got your Bible with you, your physical one in front of you, open it to Ephesians, which is towards the back of your Bible. And if you've got it online on your phone, just look it up there. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 2. This is Paul talking to the people at Ephesus about the church, unity in the church. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourself together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called in one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. However, He has given us, each one of us, a special gift through the generosity of Christ. And we'll get on to the gifts in a minute. So what's the foundation of the church? Well, the foundation of the church, as Paul puts it there, he says the first two things are what? To be humble and patient. To be humble, humility, and be patient. They're the first two. And elsewhere in Colossians, Paul talks about clothing yourselves with these things and putting these things on, making an effort for these things to be a part of who you are as a church. So that you're thinking of yourself less and thinking about the person that has come into church more. How can we be here for you today? be humble, Paul says, and be patient and gentle. Gentle comes next because sometimes we can over-greet people. I was speaking to a couple in the lobby a couple of weeks ago, and they said that their whole family went to a church, and they, when they walked in, they were met by everybody and over-greeted, and they were like intimidated and like, ah, this is too much, you know. Be gentle. Trying to understand where people are coming from. Be gentle. And then he says, be patient with one another. Be patient, making allowances for each other's failures because of your love. Now, when Paul says, be patient, be humble, he means that the things that we think might get people to church might not necessarily work. I didn't see you in church last week. Doesn't normally help. Your Aunt Edna said to me on her deathbed last year that if you don't go to church every week, she's going to haunt you. Doesn't help you come to church. Oh, I didn't see you last week. Also, doesn't help for participation. What does Paul say? Be humble, be gentle, and patient with those in your church and those who come to your church. Humble, patience, and gentleness. And how do we do this? Why do we do this? It's because of our love. Our love for the people that are coming. I'm so glad you came. I'm so glad you're present with us today. I'm so glad that you chose to come here because there's lots of other choices. I'm so glad that you and your family decided to worship with us today. We love them, yeah. We love them so much that we love the hell out of them. You get it? You love the hell out of them. We love them so much that they don't want anything to do with hell. We love people so that they come in here and they want to worship with us. We love and outreach to one another. He says, make every effort to keep yourselves united in spirit. Make every effort. Binding yourselves together in peace. I wonder how we look if we're united. He says, the reason we do this is because there's one body, one spirit, one God, one overall objective of the church, which is to glorify Christ. Amen? This is why we exist. This is the reason that we are together. And we do this through loving people. Loving people in. And my own memories of being a child and having parents is that my parents were loving towards me, and I'm thankful for that. And one of my favorite scenes in the movie, the parenting scene, is when Helen, the mother, has to be asked to come to the school office because Dash is in trouble. You ever had that problem, pulled into school because your kid's messed up? Yeah, nobody likes that, right? So Helen goes into the office and says, what's wrong? You know, this is the fourth time she's been to the office for Dash. And the teacher says, this kid openly mocks me in class. He puts thumbtacks on my chair. And she says, oh, how do you know this? Did you see this? She's like, well, no, not really, but I got it on video. She puts in the video into the VHS, into the machine, and tries to catch Dash going so fast, putting thumbtacks on. You can barely catch it on video. That's how fast he goes. And he's trying to explain to the principal and to Helen and say, look, he does it right there. He does it right there. You see it? And they're all looking at the video like this. No, we don't see it. And he's freaking out. He's like, he's guilty. He's guilty. I tell you. And the principal started getting a little embarrassed. And he says, Bernie. And Bernie says, Bernie, don't Bernie me. This kid is guilty. And he starts like getting really irate. And the principal dismisses the mom and the son and says, you can go home. And Bernie's left in the office like freaking out. Like, no way, this kid. We got to nail this kid down. On the way home in the car, which is where it always happens, right? On the way home in the car, Helen, Mom, lovingly says to Robert Dashiell Pa, "You are a very gifted young man. We need to find another outlet for you. You've been in the office 4 times. Obviously, there's something we need to do about this. You're special, Dash. You're special. Each one of you are special." And that's not in a joking way. Each one of you have been given specific gifts in order so that the church will grow in this community. Each one of you have an ability to assist the church and grow the church, especially Church 2.0 in 2022. Each of you has things that perhaps you put on the back burner one time. Perhaps you used to do these gifts. And what are these gifts? What do they look like? And Paul puts them out for us here in the next couple of scriptures we're going to read together in verse 11. I'm going to put them on the screen too. He says, these are the gifts. These are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. He says, apostles, to be prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come back, all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So very clearly, Paul tells us what these gifts are. I'm going to go through what they are. The first one, you can say them with me. What's the first one? The first one is apostle. Say it with me. Apostle. Apostles are those who extend the gospel to the community. These are sent people, driven people, people who are like trailblazers in the new era. They're able to connect one context to another, the context of the Bible to the context of today. Normally, these people are blazing through with new ideas. My friend Mike Beck, who I was in seminary with, he's responsible for starting new communities across all of Florida. He called them Fresh Expressions. And these are new places where God's people are gathered together and they're seeing new things that Jesus is doing in the community. Now, each one of these gifts has a negative side to it, or perhaps some places where there's a conflict. Often, especially with apostles, their weakness can be that they leave organizations wounded. Next one is prophets. A prophet is somebody who knows God's will. A prophet is somebody who's able to correct and challenge people in their faith. They have dominant assumptions. They question the community and they insist that we do what God commands. They're people who are saying, this is what God says. And the weakness of this is that because they're so into this thing that God's saying to them, they become otherworldly over there kind of thing, and nobody's listening anymore. But we need prophets. We need people who can speak to our context today. We need people who can speak a new word. My wife and I were excited this week to hear of somebody who we baptized a while ago. He's been a friend for a long time in the church and in and amongst our family. Our friend Megan Foster has decided that she's going to follow the call of God in her life and be a prophet to the people in Scotland, in and amongst their community. And we're so excited about this. We need prophets, amen? The next one is what? Evangelists. You can read your Bible in church. That's cool. Yeah, the next one is what? Evangelists. So apostles, prophets, and evangelists. An evangelist is somebody who recruits. An evangelist is somebody who recruits new people and has a desire for a personal response to God's redemption. Aware of the wider mission of the church. They're focused on reaching the outside of the community. Of course, I love a good evangelist, but the weakness is that the evangelist forgets about to take care of those within the church, thinks always about those outside and forgets about those inside. So that's the first three: apostles, prophets, and evangelists. The next one, hopefully you know, yeah, in the original translation, it's a shepherd. In this translation, it's a pastor. A pastor cares for his or her flock, takes care of those with inside the church, is a caregiver, promotes spiritual maturity, develops disciples. But pastors have weaknesses. They become dependent on the church and think that the church needs them. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherd or pastor. And the last one is different, but we have lots of them. Teacher. Some of you follow along. Teacher. And teacher understands and explains the text. Someone who communicates God's word, God's truth, is somebody who's biblically grounded and is able to transfer the doctrine of the Bible over into the community. Sometimes a teacher can become dogmatic in the way they say what God is revealing to them and nothing else matters. All of these gifts, these five gifts, merge together to form a healthy, unified church. Each one on their own have their weaknesses. When they're all merged together, we have a church that is vital. Paul knew this. And we need this for our church. I heard a guy speak on this. I heard him at a conference I was at. And he's an expert on this, and Alan Hirsch. He talks about these five things all the time. And the biggest thing he always says is that the first three, apostles, prophets, and evangelists, seem to have disappeared from the church of this millennia. We have lots of pastors, we have lots of teachers, but we are lacking the first three, apostles, prophets, and evangelists. An apostle looks different in today's society. Maybe it looks like somebody who's making fresh expressions of churches in different places. Prophet can be in and amongst the community different than it once was. An evangelist is not just someone who gives out tracts or is a Billy Graham kind of evangelist. Somebody who's close to people, influencing people one by one. And when each of these are functioning together in a healthy way, we have what is called the church. And why do we do this? Why do we have these five gifts? So we look good, smell good, sound good? No, it's so that we equip God's people to do his work and build the church up, which is the body of Christ. And this will continue, he says, until faith and knowledge of God's Son, and that we will be mature in the Lord, that we would be mature in our faith, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. This is why the church exists. In ordination, this is one of the pledges that is said. When the person becomes a pastor, it says that you are to equip God's people for God's work. Equip God's people for God's work. And when we get together, when we put these five together, we are able to defeat the enemy within and the enemy without. Jesus says this is Satan, or the devil, who is in and amongst us, we're able to defeat the evil in our lives. In The Incredibles, they learn this the hard way, and they've been using their gifts by themselves, you know, to get a new car, to be flexible at home, to be like invisible so she can get a boyfriend. And at the end of the scene, the ending closing scene, Syndrome, the evil antagonist, takes away baby Jack-Jack. He flies down with his powered boots, and he comes and picks up the baby, and he's going off upside, ah ha ha, I've got the baby kind of thing. And each of the family turns around and is like, what are we going to do? Helen says, throw me. So Bob picks up Helen and throws Helen after evil Syndrome, and he throws it perfectly so she can catch the baby. And she captures the baby in her arms, and she extends her body out like Mrs. Elastigirl does and floats down with the baby behind her. The ship is above, and Syndrome is about to like destroy Helen, and Bob picks up his fancy car that he works so hard for. He picks up the car, throws it at the spaceship. The spaceship explodes. And as Helen's floating down with the baby, all the remnants of the spaceship that Syndrome is about to get into are falling on top of the family. The family is at the bottom, gathered together, and all of a sudden there's this great big explosion on top of the family. The dust clears, and we see that Violet has created a nice zone, a protective force field around the family, so that none of the family are hurt or injured. When we use our gifts together, when we use each of these five gifts, we're able to defeat the evil in our life, amen? We're able to defeat the evil one who's in and amongst our churches. We're able to defeat the enemy that is within our families. When we come together and we say, oh, I've got these gifts, we're able to defeat the syndromes of our lives. What gift do you have? What gift have you been given? What grace have you been given from God? I don't mean super strength. I don't mean super flexibility. I don't mean the ability to disappear. Are you an apostle? Somebody who's sent to do something. Are you a prophet? Someone who's passionate about communicating the word of God in the community that you're in. Are you an evangelist? Someone who gets alongside people and tells them the gospel. Are you called to be a shepherd, a pastor? By the way, Abdel Rodriguez last week is called to be a pastor, amen? And I'm excited to see young people answering the call of God on their lives. Maybe you're called to be a teacher, to teach the word of God clearly. I'm going to give you a moment to think about what that is for you. Maybe you put it on the back burner. I spoke to somebody in the lobby just before, and they said, oh, I felt like God is telling me I should use this gift. This awful trauma I had in my own life, I want to use that to teach others. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're to be an apostle. Maybe you're to be a prophet. Maybe you're to be an evangelist, shepherd, teacher. I'm going to give you a moment to respond to that call today. And I'm going to give you a moment, and all I want you to do is put your hands out on your lap. It's very simple. Put your hands out on your lap, on your knees like this. And you're talking to God. You're not talking to me. You say, all I want you to say, God, what is my gift? Maybe say that three times. You can say it out loud, or you can say it to yourselves. God, what is my gift? God, what is my gift? I'm going to give you a moment to pray in your pews, to think about what your gift is. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we give you ourselves anew today. We give to you our gifts that you've bestowed on us, you've placed on us, that you've placed in our head and in our heart. We give to you, Lord, that our lives, we know they're so much more fruitful when they're wrapped up in you. And today, Lord, we ask that you reveal to us once again, or show us anew, what our gift is. And may we use it outside the church and inside the church, so that you might be glorified and your church will grow and your name will be glorified in this town. We ask this all in your precious and powerful name.